Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. We're located in Brookfield, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and I'm the Senior Citizens Pastor and the Counseling Pastor, Brookside. And with me in the studio today are Pastor and Mrs. Ken and Kathy Keltner. Pastor Ken is the Executive Pastor of our church and so many, many ministries. He's also involved in our Outreach Extension, Evangelism Explosion, and so many other things. And Kathy is, I would say, right-hand man. I'd say right-hand woman. How about that? And just has been by his side ministering together for so many years. They were involved in youth ministry for 18 years. Kathy now is teaching in a Christian high school after having taught her own sons for many years in homeschooling. And so they have four sons, and we are just talking to them about parenting teenagers. And we were talking last time, Ken and Kathy, about the aspect of desiring to have our children be godly and not just good. What do you think can cause a parent to make that turn in the road to begin to develop a godliness? What kinds of things, if a parent really wants their child to become godly and not good, what kind of things would you recommend that they ought to focus their attention on?
Well, I think they have to be the right example. You know, if you're wanting your kids to be something you're not, we call that hypocrisy, and that's not going to work, you know, because I'll tell you what, kids can flat pick up on, you know, who's real and who's fake, and they can pick up on idiosyncrasies, and I mean, usually when you come around our home, I mean, it's kind of funny when they start wanting to imitate Dad.
Oh, yeah,
Dad does this, and so they're quick to pick up all of that. So, I mean, when you're talking to them about the Word and if they're in the Word, you got to be in the Word.
Because they'll ask you, well, Dad, when do you have your time with the Lord? Mom, how about you? When do you have your time with the Lord? And if we start stuttering, we're in trouble, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think, too, that there always has been a strong emphasis on family altar time, family devotions. I tell you, though, we live in a very fast-paced, hectic society, and I see more parents get in trouble with their teens when they want to make that time way too long. You know, usually our time would consist of, you know, when we could get everyone around the table for an evening meal, read a passage of Scripture, maybe a couple of blessings, and then we go right to prayer requests, and then we pray specifically for the requests that each one gave. And, you know, it could last 4 to 6 minutes, something in there. Yeah. I think at times parents can kind of want to heap way too much spirituality on their kids and think they can pour it into the glass in their life. And it has to come in a natural way and one that is not put on or not fake.
Right.
I just remember a time when kids were really young, especially for young moms, it's hard to find a time to read your Bible. If you determined to get up early to read your Bible, they got up early. And so I finally decided one day when they were downstairs playing in the basement, I would just take my Bible down in there and read. And they noticed. I didn't think they were paying attention to what I was doing, but I was there with them. And the next day, for several days after that, they asked me, Mom, are you going to bring your Bible down here and read while we play?
Oh, wow.
So it does make an impact when they actually see you.
Yes.
I mean, we often get up early to read our Bibles, and our kids never see it.
They don't see it,
and
right.
So, you know, often it might be important to have that Bible open at the table wherever you have that, and your children see that you actually have a devotional time.
And two, as they get older and you have problems, you know, I mean, we had our struggles. Pastor Craig, I mean, four boys, when a boy hits the age of 11 to 15, I had a medical doctor in our church tell me that there is so much going on in their body physically that it's just unbelievable. And so they have this huge struggle. And, if you know, the more books you read, you see 11 to 15 is a critical, critical age for young people, but especially boys. And, you know, boys hit this point where they look at you and say, hey, Dad, give me the keys. You know, I'm big enough now. I can take you.
Right.
And I remember in some real difficult times, I just went right to my knees. And they'd be like, what are you doing? Well, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm asking God for direction and help right now. And I'm praying that he would give us the right response and knowing how to help you.
Right. You know, that one point, knowing how to help you is so, so important, because so many times it's knowing how to discipline you, knowing how to correct you, but knowing how to help you. I think as our teenagers see that that is truly our heart. We don't want to be on their back. We want to be on their side. Mm-hmm. And we want to help them.
We definitely need a lot of wisdom at that time. It's easy to just blurt out things as their tempers flare and our voices rise.
Right.
Things tend to escalate, and I think that's probably the worst thing you can do with teenage boys, especially as a mom. I've learned from many wise sources. And I think one of the greatest helps to me was just a reminder to go back to Scripture, that to argue with your kids, you're never going to come out of head, that they are often unreasonable and aren't able to listen to the truth until you use Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't back what we say with a scriptural truth or a principle, and we're just trying to argue a point and reason with them, we often lose. But there's not much they can do with arguing a verse of Scripture that says that we are supposed to get along, or that you're supposed to respect your authority.
Or love your brother. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those were some big times. I remember some of those days, too. But, you know, one aspect that I was thinking of, too, is that boys need activity.
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
we live in a day where they want to sit in there and just play video games. And, you know, you see all kind of articles coming out on young people and their obesity now. And I think promoting activity, you know, whether they're good in sports or they're not good in sports, get them involved, get them out there. Again, it puts us in the community with people.
Right.
You know, our guys started their own lawn business, and that all happened to get one of them, you know, some funds to go on a missions trip, and then they developed their own little lawn business, and that put me right there with them, you know.
Of course.
Day offs and after work, go out and help them mow.
And you're saying, whose idea was this?
Yeah. Well, the older they got, though, Pastor Greg, and I was really thankful they did develop a very strong work ethic, and they need that in the ministry today.
Exactly.
But I do get a kick out of them when they want to start talking about all the different lawns that we would work on, and they'd say, Dad, you're not a landscaper. You know, you're a manicurist. You know, we want to get in there, get it done, and get going, but you kind of slow us up. But those are always, you know, those are fun times when we get together. But, I mean, that they have activity, and, you know, even though we homeschooled, we wanted them involved with people in the community, whether on ball teams
sure.
or working for people. And many times, folks that were, you know, if we had a lady who was a widow, I mean, guys, here's what the Bible teaches us. Let's go over and help her at her house. You know, let's go shovel their drive or their sidewalk. And, you know, we don't have to get paid for everything we do.
Exactly.
You know, it's all part of a ministry.
Right. And so as they see Dad and Mom leading in this way, you know, having a servant's heart, then it's exciting for them to become a part of our family. Is a serving family. I never forget one time we decided at Christmas time that we were going to try to have a ministry as a family to another family in our church. They were bus kids, and the mom and dad didn't ever come to the church, but we heard they were going to have no Christmas. And so I said to the boys, why don't you guys go in to your bedroom and just pick a toy or two that you'd like to give, and we'll wrap it up and take it over to this family. And at first they came out with, you know, some toys that were like, bleh.
Broken.
Yeah. What is this? You know, and so
yeah.
I said,
yeah.
So at that point I said, now, are these toys that you would want to get? And they kind of sat there and looked at me and said, well, no. And I said, so is that really what we want to give? So they went back into their bedroom, and I was shocked. They came out of their bedrooms with some really nice toys. I mean, expensive toys. And I'm going, wait a minute. I paid too much money for that toy. But what a thrill it was to see their heart willing to give up their best toys. We went over to that family, and we have talked about it for years. When those children were opening those toys, the joy on their faces, and they saw that it came from our children, their own collection, you know. That's a Christmas we will never forget.
Well, that's the best illustration of the verse, it is more blessed to give than receive. Your children truly see that.
Exactly.
I'd say our guys would say, man, there's one thing Dad used to always pound in our heads, and that is you cannot outgive God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think, man, look at what I'm given here, but you can't outgive God. And I was always emphasizing to him what God really wants. Yeah, he wants our money. He wants, you know, he wants us to give of ourselves. But when we can truly say to God, you have all of me.
Mm.
And take me and use me any way you want, then he's going to have all the rest that come with my life.
I will never forget having a special offering at church because we were facing some really, really tough times. And so Ruth and I emptied our bank account, and so our boys decided they were going to empty their piggy banks. And it was an I gave it all Sunday. You know, we just gave as much as we possibly could. On the way home, our youngest son, David, leaned over the back seat and he said, Dad, he said, you know, I gave all my money. And I said, yes, son, and I'm so proud of you. And he said, Dad, I want to give God me.
Mm, yeah, that's wonderful.
I want to give God me. That's it, you know. And I think that was the beginning. I mean, today he's serving as a missionary in Sao Paulo, Brazil. But it goes back to the love and the joy that we have in our heart when we see who God is and that he wants to use us.
You said something there interesting, the joy.
Mm.
I see too many people either in Christian ministry or parenting that they look anything but joyous. They don't sound happy. They don't sound like they have fulfillment in their life in what they're doing. And I just think it's a sad state of really where we are with our young people when they're turned off to doing something for God based on those who supposedly are training them and wanting to lead them, but they're cranky and they complain and it seems like they enjoy getting on kids' cases more than they enjoy telling them, hey, great job. It's amazing what young people can do when they're given some confidence and, hey, thanks for doing this. You know, you go on those missions trips and you have 200 kids in a little room and you got to divide the room into four sections by a little curtain. You take adults over there, they'd be complaining, hey, you're talking too loud over there, man. I can't even concentrate on my lesson because everybody's listening to you. But you take teens in there and you just watch them deal with the environment and deal with it and do their best. And I always get them afterwards and go, what a great job you guys did.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, confidence. I want to talk about that this next time. Because I think confidence is something that our teenagers especially are really struggling with. And maybe what we as parents can do to encourage them in confidence beyond what you have just shared. But we've run out of time again, and boy, it just seems like these minutes just fly. But we are thrilled that you're joining us for our Word for Life ministry. And next time, we will continue to talk about parenting teenagers. We trust until then, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.